Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, just last week, Wednesday, I was in Fort Wayne at the seminary. And while there, it's always a great time because I get to sit and learn at the feet of some of the greatest theologians in the world and not have to do homework or write papers afterward. But another great part about being at the seminary is chapel services. When this brick building is completely filled with men who love Jesus and love to sing, and their wives and their children who do the same. To be involved with a group of people singing as loudly as they can the praises of our Lord. Now, that's a little tricky to do when only 15 people are in the pews, but you're doing a great job. The seminary is filled with men who've known they wanted to be a pastor their whole lives, to men who, like Paul, spent their lives kicking against the goads, trying to get away from Jesus. For me, when I was in seventh grade, I woke up one morning and said to my dad, "Dad, I'm going to be a pastor." And he encouraged me in that. He, being a welder at the time, was not the one who necessarily convinced me to go in the ministry, but he encouraged me. He and my mother prayed for me. They encouraged me to talk with my pastors. They were good, godly parents who brought me to church, who made sure that I was also being taught the faith in Sunday school and prayers in the home. Saul was a man who was devoted to his faith. He grew up in that faith. He devoted his life to it. It just so happened that he happened to be living at a time when that faith was going to be fulfilled. Yes, there were men, even in my own class at the seminary, who had lived a whole nother life without faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, God revealed himself to them through the preaching of his word, through the proclamation of what Jesus Christ has done, and the Holy Spirit called them and then brought them to study his word further, to be trained up in the things of the word of God, to be taught how to conduct the divine service, and to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. St. Luke records very clearly what happens to Saul. Here you have a man who rounded up Christian after Christian, bound men and women in persecution. They would go on to be beaten, tried, and even executed. Saul was present at the stoning of Stephen, that martyr who proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. They laid their cloaks at the feet of this Saul. He was so devoted to what he thought was right that he breathed out anger and fire at these people that belonged to what was called the Way, an early name for Christians. And it makes sense, this hudas, this the Way, because Jesus proclaims in St. John's Gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so those Christians believed those words of Jesus. They believed that this Jesus was God in the flesh who went to the cross to die for their sins and the sins of the world, that he was their only way to the Father. And God would use this man who was on his way to capture even more of these Christians. He would use him to be one of the biggest proclaimers that history has ever seen about what Jesus Christ had done. So as he's on his road to arrest Christian after Christian after Christian, God stops him in his tracks. He falls down in the presence of this great light. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, the one whom you persecute. Because when you go after one who believes in me, one who is an extension of the light that I shine, you are persecuting me. Stop. Believe who I am, what I have come to do, and proclaim this message. And so Saul then is led into Damascus, where he spends the next few days without eating and without drinking. You see, the Christians in Damascus already knew that this Saul was on his way. They already knew that he was coming to round them up to be put to jail and possibly even death. And so God comes to a man, a Christian named Ananias, and says, Ananias, I want you to go to Saul and proclaim the truth. Understandably, Ananias says, I don't know about this. This man has come to arrest people like me. And you want me to put myself right at his feet so that he can do it? But God reveals to him that he has more important plans for Saul. And so Ananias submits to God's will. And he goes and proclaims to Saul the words. This Jesus, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. A proclamation of the true God. And immediately from Saul's eyes, as scales fall down and his sight is received, that which was blind can now see. That which has blinded himself to the truth that is Jesus Christ can now see the truth that is Jesus Christ. He now sees that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything he has believed his entire life. This Jesus has come to save him from his own sins. Saul is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he is taught more about this Jesus, more about the one that he was persecuting. And what can Saul do after finding out the truth? He can do nothing less than tell everyone he can possibly see. Saul goes out and he proclaims the message of Jesus Christ. And the people around are bewildered at this. I thought this was Saul. I thought he was coming to arrest us. But God was at work even in this man that had denied him for so long, even in this man who had persecuted his church. Paul went out, a man converted from his being Saul. He increased all the more in strength. He confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the one he had hoped for, now the Word made flesh. That gospel message is proclaimed into all the world. Paul would go on 3 missionary journeys to ensure that that message would be preached. He faced trial and tribulation after trial and tribulation, shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, and ultimately he would see death for proclaiming Jesus. That which had been last, untimely born, chief of sinners, as he refers to himself, was made first by Jesus. He was sent out to proclaim that message. And if the Lord has worked in your hearts, and I know that he has, because you are Christians, then it is your duty, your obligation, but even more importantly, your joy to tell everyone about that same Jesus. So the people you encounter tomorrow, tell them about a man who had turned his life against the truth, but even in that, Jesus found a way in. So for the person who has lived his whole life without Jesus, without trusting in him, that there is hope for him too. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.